Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
They're looking for the elf? No, I'm looking for the middle kid who is hiding in the dryer. I'm not going to post that on Instagram.
Why don't we have an elf?
Yeah. You're like, well, dad got laid off. That's why. Find the holiday magic in that. Yeah, dad's got a lot of time off for Christmas.
More time to move the elf.
Long before our phones were listening and AI knew us.
Pasco knew 40-year-olds.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Who has wrapped herself for Christmas.
I sure have.
Our producer, Andy Lara.
Millions of peaches.
Peaches for him. Who has a jacket from Costco that Melissa is coveting.
Woo. And then I was like, like Costco clothes.
Yeah. Is that the first time in your 40s that's happened? Yeah. What are 40s?
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a cool coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your 40s if not having an ominous... let me try that again. What are your 40s if not going, actually, I kind of like Costco clothes.
Yeah. The value and the fashion.
It's all here. It's all here. They have everything that I need. Jeans and sweatshirts.
To go to volleyball tournaments.
Of which I'm currently buying snacks for.
Yep. Get a case of waters.
Also... My eye exam is in 15 minutes.
Don't forget about your tires.
You know what? I am interested in solar panels. Thank you. I will take a brochure. Thank you.
Is that a 12 knife set?
12 knives. 12 knives. Okay.
Ooh, a new Brené Brown book.
Everything I want is here. Costco. How do you know? Yeah. Long before our phones were listening and AI knew us,
Costco knew 40-year-olds. Here's some hiking shoes and a ream of printer paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I could use a new flat screen. I'm greeted by 75 of them.
We should all get rollerblades.
Rollerblades. There's no rollerblades.
Oh, family pack of rollerblades. Oh, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been.
You know, summer's coming up. We could use that USA flag cornhole set. Yep. I mean, I got to get it here or at Bucky's. Those are my choices. Yeah. That's great. Clip! Early
Let's
on.
Go home.
Oh, out of the gate, Clip. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, that's funny. Well, we appreciate you listening. Plus, I was going to ask, we're talking Elf on a Shelf today. It's 20 years. Elf on a Shelf.
20th anniversary.
Turns 20. In 1 year, your elf can legally have a drink, though I know a lot of you guys have been boozing up your elf over the years, you know.
I don't think elves age at the same speed. I'm pretty sure like that elf is like 100.
And, yeah. Well, Elf on a Shelf.
Oh, yeah. And Elf the movie. Yeah, remember? He's like 800 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those franchises.
Which questions how old it was in the first place.
Yeah. Did you watch with that that interview? I saw Will Ferrell talking about, he's talked about for a couple of reasons why he doesn't want to do sequel. But then James Caan, the dad, who's like a serious actor, did not like him on the shooting. And he thought he was like way over the top. And he's like, you're doing way too much. This is, and like his like genuine, you know how he's annoyed with him the entire, those are genuine reactions to Will Ferrell. And then that the movie, James Caan was like, oh, it totally works. I get it now. And you got to imagine from Will Ferrell's standpoint, he's like, I'm playing an adult elf who's never interacted in society.
Tights. Yeah.
It's written in his script, I'm supposed to like maple syrup on spaghetti. How are we not over the top on this?
What's your most quoted line from Elf that you find yourself saying the most or, I mean, especially mine is, hope you find your dad.
Hope you find your dad.
Yeah.
Mine is, smell like beef and cheese.
Smell like beef and cheese is a classic. It was such a quotable, you sit on a throne of lies, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I can't think of one.
Santa is probably yours. Santa! That's the one that I probably catch you doing the most. But
Did you start with, hope you find your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all, you know.
The narwhal.
Well,
the narwhal. Hope you find your dad.
It just pops up and then goes back down.
I love that homage back to like the old like Christmas movies of like the claymation style. Yeah. Like that was awesome.
Yeah.
I've always found Elf to maybe be the best representation of what New York City actually is. Because if you take somebody from the purity of a normal place like the North Pole and then you put them into New York City, they're like, oh my gosh. But then the Christmas stores and then, you know, the lights, there is a magic and a grittiness to New York. And I don't think I'm ever be able to get you to go again. I told you again, if I had like another Tonight Show, you're like, I went to the first one.
It's just so much.
It's the flights.
It's just so much.
This is a testament of how like much traveling has changed over how easy it is to do and book, especially for me, but really for anybody. So we're doing the Nateland cruise and it's in February and I had to book flights last night. And Orlando's on our mind because I think we're going to Universal Studios Orlando for Christmas. That's our big thing. We got a bunch of points to... That's what we're doing. We're like, let's do it. Our kids love Universal Studios. So we're going to the Orlando one. So... Oh, it was on my mind. San Diego has directs to Orlando now, by the way, on Southwest. So so I book it. I don't even think anything. I forward it to you, and you're like, hey, dum-dum, we got to fly into Tampa, not Orlando.
I mean, you ran it by me, and I missed it. Yeah.
Well, because Orlando...
Because we're trying to get the right dates and flights.
Andy.
Yeah.
It took me no less, or like no more... than 3 minutes to change it on the app. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Four people.
Yeah. Southwest is great like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Delta's pretty good like that too, but Southwest yeah. is too. Also, there is a direct to Tampa now too. The amount of work that would have taken 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you probably wouldn't even be able to get your money back. Right. But who are you calling? The airline? The travel agent? We booked the wrong city. Now, maybe you probably would have been a little more careful because flying was such a bigger deal. But, you know, I can't.
Okay, this is a dumb question.
I love a dumb question.
How?
Closer to the middle.
Oh, now we don't even get the clip. Sure. No, I'm just kidding.
Is this good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
How? I don't know. How did people book flights before the internet?
They would call, right? You would call the airline. And you
be
would
like, I need to get to Denver Friday.
You would call booking agents.
Yeah.
And you could call the airline or travel agents were a huge thing, you know, and you would travel agent would plan your whole thing, right? You
right.
know, they'd book your
yeah,
hotel
I'm
and
familiar.
Stuff. But yeah, you would call, and I'm sure there were like for hotels and stuff, I'm sure there were guides and you know
mm-hmm.
Right, like a concierge might be able to
yeah.
help you like get those calls or tickets or
yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah.
That's wild. You're absolutely right. I was trying to remember. I was like, oh, yeah, like my parents used to have to call.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
That was the only way to do it.
Because it's not like a catalog order. You're not like going to write out which flight you want, mail it to
yeah.
the airline.
Yeah.
It has to be direct, like, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
whew.
Complain all you want about technology. I think I've told you this before. Every technological advancement afterwards, I haven't needed. But the phone's impact on travel, mm-hmm. all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so much easier to... I don't know how road dogs used to do it. Like, how you would just, like... How do you know where the club is from the airport when you land? You just sense it. Yeah.
yeah.
You know.
It's going to be by the bowling alley.
And if I get delayed, my phone tells me I'm delayed now.
I know.
And my phone rebooks me a lot of the time.
I think about it, like, every time you would get lost.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you know, like, we caravanned from Texas to Washington when we moved.
Yeah.
We had three vehicles.
Yeah.
And my grandpa took a turn that we all didn't. And
yeah.
we lost him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we circled back to look for him.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Because we couldn't text
yeah.
or call.
Haven't seen him since this day.
We just lost Grandpa.
So they lost Grandpa Hoagland.
One wrong turn in your life.
Yeah. By the way.
But also, as a kid, that's like funny.
Yeah.
As an adult.
We were all essentially like dogs. Like we had a sense for where home may be.
Yeah.
But we're out there homeward bounding it,
yeah.
you know, trying to find our
without
way.
Without air tags.
Are we dumber? Maybe. But we're certainly more efficient, mm-hmm. you know. So anyways.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I was learning to drive, how much it was emphasized, like, you need to understand how to use a Thomas guide.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. having a spiral-bound mm-hmm. map in the back of your car.
Yeah.
I mean, realizing like that was an essential part of driving.
Yeah.
And it's just gone now.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Melissa, do you have any, this is a good time to ask this. You know, it is December. Do you have any tips for families traveling together over the holidays?
Oh.
My first one would be avoid it if you don't have to.
Well.
But, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, arrive early to the airport.
Yeah.
Pack layers
mm-hmm.
for, you know, whatever could happen.
You know what the only real
probably will happen.
Yeah. You know what the only real answer is, though? Charge the devices.
Yeah. Download the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not count on that plain Wi-Fi.
Charge the devices and don't.
Yeah. Buy all your children headphones.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're traveling to any of my comedy shows, I got some ones coming up. This last weekend, I was in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, which were, I had a corporate gig for Hobby Lobby, the tech workers of Hobby Lobby, on Saturday. And it was so funny. It was like, I was a little outside the city. And I was like, I made a joke about it on my Sunday show. And I was like, yeah, you know, it was at the, I don't even remember what hotel it was, some one of the suites ones that's in the name. Mm-hmm. Not Spring Hill. That's the Marriott one. It doesn't matter. It's not important to the story, but it was off.
It was a suite.
The name of the street was
Embassy.
Embassy Suites. It wasn't Embassy Suites. Very good. And it was like off Northwest Expressway or something. You know, they got the conference room. You know, yeah. I go into the ballroom. And the staff's all stressed out. You know, the local staff is so funny. And they're like, this is our sixth one of these this weekend. And not, you know,
the Christmas party.
It's the crafts look good. And I was joking with the staff. And
with
I was like, I go, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the table decor. This is Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a huge deal. And they're like, I know, we feel it. Their photo backdrop looked great, you know. they did a good job. Now, that being said, it was the tech people, and so it wasn't, you know, the storefront day to day.
Decor designers.
Yeah, and you go up.
That slide deck better bop.
Yeah, yeah. and it was.
They're all fixing the PowerPoint in the back. Yeah.
They're like, we all can help with this. Yeah, they're like, who needs me to spray paint a quote on a board. That's our whole thing here. I did some of the old jokes because corporate gives you, I was like, let your love grow through bitterness and spite. And I go, are you guys going to sell that quote on a chalkboard? And like a few of them really got it. But yeah. I thought I did a joke, which I thought was the funniest joke I told, which was, you know, congrats on all of you for being the only craft store that isn't turning into Spirit Halloween stores. Which is fitting because I think you have the clientele least likely to celebrate Halloween. And I did, you know, I have like a little cheeky face that I always do after jokes like that. I'm like, huh? And, you know, I kind of milking it a little. And that's one of those jokes that like a third of the crowd was like, that's the best joke of the night. And then a third of the crowd's like, am I offended? And then a third of the crowd's like, I don't, can this be over?
Yeah. Like,
I'm the customer.
Yeah. Or they're like, I'm the spouse of the software developer on the app. Yeah. I'm not in the nitty gritty of Hobby Lobby culture.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But man, I sent you to the Hobby Lobby website.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, you know, this girl growing up in Northwest Texas. What was the list of things on the website that?
Everything.
Yeah, it was just, DIY.
We got scrapbooking, stamps, decor.
I told you how I didn't.
Paper crafts, like card making.
I told you how I didn't think their logo was very like. I was like, it's kind of a bland logo, and you said like it makes you so happy. Just
well,
as thinking about a little kid.
So when I
know there was controversy about this company. There's They all take their turns.
Yes.
You know, we were just talking about it. Everyone takes their turn to be a controversial company.
So we would always visit my grandparents in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and they had Hobby Lobbies.
Right.
And we would be like overseas or Texas, like, but we could always count on the Hobby Lobby. I would count on visiting Hobby Lobby in Colorado.
Go get some stamps.
When I'd go see my grandparents, I would get dollhouse furniture. You guys know I had a dollhouse.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That was never in question. Probably more self-furnished than a lot of them, though.
No, yeah. My parents bought me one of
those. What?
It's a dollhouse you had to build yourself.
You'd have it no other way. You probably love that. Yeah.
I had to build my own dollhouse. Yeah.
You wanted to, though, right?
I was happy to do it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't...
I never put the shingles on the roof.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, that was some, like, dad in the background of that marketing meeting of being like, but what if they learn construction, too?
Right. So you want to know how polar opposite... You got that, and you were probably happy to build it yourself, right?
I wanted a dollhouse.
Yeah.
And then this flat dollhouse showed up. Yeah. I had to build it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did no problem, right?
I did it.
So my mm-hmm. dad, who's very handy, and then there's me, who married a handy person. My dad once specifically, I remember, tried to get me into model cars.
Yeah.
And which were a very...
It's a very niche.
Also a very dated thing. I don't know that they're... Like, I mean, I'm sure they're around.
Model building. Kinda. I mean, model building is... Yes.
I'm sure you were so good at it.
I had the Days of Thunder... Okay. Like set,
yeah, yeah,
like that was
Tom Cruise,
and then I had the Top Gun,
yeah,
like F-14s.
My dad, who loved cars,
yeah,
and loved building things,
yes,
and me, who is very apathetic about cars.
You're good with words.
I'm quite articulate, father.
Bouncing off the walls and articulate.
You know, I in sixth grade, I had a college level English
reading level.
Reading level.
Yeah, you and Claire.
I'm quite articulate, and
you could write a haiku.
I could. Mm-hmm. I could write a poem about the car, Dad. Would that get you anything? My dad also
lowbrow of a hobby.
Yeah.
Your dad can also write poems.
My dad is very creative.
Yeah.
My dad got it to me. He bought me the model car. I opened it. I immediately got confused. There was glue. Me and glue were bad as a kid.
Well, it's very specific too. That cement glue, like,
yeah.
You cannot mess around with that.
Your enamel paints,
yeah.
Like
when you're at the model
glue
store,
your fingers
looking at all the enamel paints and seeing what you could do, and they are highly toxic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can't breathe in any of that stuff.
Well,
yeah,
we did. We're fine. No, I, me and glue as a child, I have no good glue memories. arts, crafts, all of. So, bad story long. I quit immediately, and then like a week later, my dad just built it and put it in his room. Because I was like, I mean, yeah, you were being a really good father in this moment. And my dad, kind of infamously in our family, would run it in the red for Christmas. I mean, we were running on his, very lower blue collar income, but he wanted to give us a big Christmas every year. And so he's like, I like this, and he's my boy. Surely he would like this. We have a lot in common. We like sports. Me and my dad do have a lot in common. We love music. Maybe he'll, and I did not take to that. And then he built it and put it in his own room. But I mean, it was also like a 67 Chevy. And I was like, this is your thing. This is clearly your thing, Dad.
He's like, this is cool.
Yeah, why don't you just put on some Elvis records while we're at it? And anyway, so, but Tulsa was great. I don't know how we strayed from Tulsa. Tulsa was great.
If Hobby you're, Lobby.
Thank you, Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Tulsa, OKC, really great crowds. Bricktown Comedy Club in both of them. Thanks for coming out. Really, really enjoy you guys as people and as crowds. It's a modest fan base that keeps growing, and I'm very thankful for them. A couple coffee recommendations. Pony Coffee in Tulsa, I really liked. Ooh. Good logo. It's like an old cabin. It's great. It'd be right up your alley.
I love that.
They kept being
like...
Have
you been to Tulsa?
Yes, I have, actually. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I filmed a wedding in Tulsa years ago.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Everyone kept being like, Ethan Hawke really recommended it. So I think Ethan Hawke was in Tulsa and went there and he talked about it. Tulsa is that level of town that if there's a celebrity there talking about them, they're like, hey... Tulsa gave the world Bob Dylan. So, you know, they've famous people from there. But so that, and then the vintage store, the Racks, was really cool. And then I went to Clarity Coffee in OKC, which was very good. So shout out to both of them. Also, I had a random off night when I was there, and I went to the other comedy club, Looney Bin, and I saw Dale Jones. And oh my gosh, Dale Jones is so freaking funny. He's making you like cry laugh last night. We were watching some of his clips.
Yeah, he's great. He reminds, I was telling you how like Ernest Saves Christmas is like one of the only Christmas movies I grew up watching.
Yeah.
And so I like Dale because he reminds me.
I mean, he looks like. Yeah. And he talks about it too.
His like. The way he moves.
Well, I mean, he was a professional comic when Ernest came out, too. And I heard him briefly say something about that. Like, it's like, Ernest came out and he's like, well.
That's I guess
me.
I do this now.
That's
yeah,
me.
I look yeah. like this and I'm kind of like zany. And,
yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
I remember watching not that long ago the story about how he started the plumbing bits, you know, because of like how he's like, that was like the first gig I could get.
Yeah.
And then that just became and then snowballed into Ernest. And it's a wild story about someone who like is a normal comic and then like ends up being a total character for decades, you know, and beloved in a certain genre like that.
Yeah. So very funny. So John Adele Jones, go watch his stuff. But this weekend, I'm off. I don't do anything this weekend. Next weekend, I'm not off. But for the rest of the year, I have shows. Do you mind pulling up my dates? December 18th, I'm going to be at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. And then the 19th through the 21st, I'm going to be at Stress Factory. And then in January, Dallas, Houston, Charleston, Raleigh. In February, Boise, Salt Lake, and Phoenix. March, Chicago, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Washington, D.C., Everett, Tacoma. Oh, March is busy. April, Philly, Fort Wayne, Portland, Spokane, May, Vancouver, Vegas, Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Louisville, June, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Denver. So there you go. All right. Why don't you read this email here, Mel? This is from Kevin.
All right. Dustin, love the podcast. My wife and I were fortunate to see you in Fort Wayne earlier this year and are excited to see you next year when you are back in town.
Ooh.
My Christmas to don't. Don't use a traditional pie crust in your pecan pies.
Okay.
Use graham cracker pie crust instead. Pie crusts are the worst part of the pie, in my opinion.
Andy has an opinion on this.
And I noticed often went uneaten. With graham cracker pie crust, the problem is solved. No bland dough to offset the sweet, delicious pecan pie filling. Just pure diabetes in a pie tin. A Christmas miracle. Big fan of the podcast. Appreciate all the parental perspectives and laughs. Kevin, P.S., if you end up reading this comment, this will complete my Nateland trifecta, as I've already had a comment read on the Nateland podcast and the consumers, but no pressure.
You did it.
All right, Kevin.
Hat trick. What are your two thoughts on that? You guys, Andy has a very strong opinion on this.
I would have to try it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be a little grainier, you know? So... perhaps with the pecans, that could work, like a s'more kind of vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a simple creature. I'm like, I mean, I love pecan pie and I like graham crackers. They would be good together, right? But Andy, go ahead.
I'll try it. Maybe.
I'll do one graham cracker, one regular. I mean, I eat the crust every time, so.
Yeah.
I think when you add ice cream.
You ever put cheese on a dish? Yeah.
There's no hard and fast rule about it, but like I just think graham crust is meant for cheesecakes.
That's what's on those.
The traditional crust on a pecan pie is necessary because how sweet the pecan pie is. It helps to balance it. Like it just otherwise the graham crust is flavorless. It's just all texture. Whereas like the flour one holds it together better because it's kind of like it can be a little loosey goosey.
Yeah.
You need a solid crust to hold that together. So I mean, I'm a I mean, purist, if you like tier. What you like.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, hard pass.
I know people who do like cookie pie crust.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's Oreo, yeah.
Yeah. Like on
cheesecake. Again, though, uh-huh. I would say cheesecake or mousse.
I would worry about that being more flavor than I need, in the sense that pecan filling is so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not like, hey, let me get, and I like graham cracker a lot, like, but who, I don't know some, that I need all
some
that.
Some people put chocolate in their pecan pies.
I mean.
I don't know about that.
At a certain
people
point.
People like what they like, but that's sweet on sweet for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you just gotta have some self control. Because, yeah, you could do that and then put ice cream, and then you could put chocolate shell on that ice cream. And
magic shell.
Yeah. At a certain point, you just gotta stop yourself. You gotta.
I was thinking like marshmallow fluff.
Yeah.
With the graham cracker crust.
Yeah.
Oh, marshmallow fluff on a graham cracker crust is great. I support that. It's
a
looser, if you've got like a, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's do some more comments
Kevin,
here.
We're not sure. S'more?
We might give it a try. S'more? We might not. All right. Why don't you just send us one to don'tmakemebackthere@gmail.com.
Let's do that.
All right. Read this. This is from Misty. As a kid, we would pick out our own gifts at Walmart. Then if mom didn't wrap them, I felt like there wasn't a single ounce of Christmas magic. It's like, well, there they are. Sigh. Okay. I'm with Mel 100%. This is on YouTube of the... I get that. That is funny. Well, there they are.
Well, there they are. I know. People are hyping these reusable cloth bags. You know, just put them all in a bag and pick them out one at a time. You know, it's not the same. I did wrap like 6 presents this week. And I was like, go me.
Go me.
It's like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our this is going to get some people angry. Let's.
What?
Our.
Oh, no.
Would you. What are the hot gifts? What are people using?
Reusable.
Yeah.
Reusable fabric bags instead of wrapping paper.
Are people still using reusable diapers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I can answer that question. Yes.
Are you?
We tried.
Yeah. Cloth diapers. That's the...
I'm telling you, man. Cloth diapers. That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's a very specific avenue. You know, it goes.
The pipeline. You're making your own baby food.
Making your own baby food is a gateway to cloth diapers, which is a gateway to an at-home birth, which is a gateway
to
we're eating the placenta. It's all.
Then you're homeschooling on a farm.
And if you want to live that life, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. But. I just, when you said reusable, immediately I was like, oh yeah, cloth diapers were. But yeah, that's still, anytime somebody was like, it's better for the environment, I'm always like, I'm sure it is. Sure it is. Yeah. But, you know, again, absolutely. At a certain point, you just got to make decisions for your own life.
Yeah.
And be like, this is what's best for me. This email's from Adam. This is a long email, so why don't you read it, Mel?
Okay.
The subject is Spotify Wrapped. Parenting fail and advice.
Okay, Adam says, I have a modern day parenting fail to share with you that I didn't even see coming. As you know, earlier this week, the whole world got their Spotify Wrapped for 2025. Came home from work and found my wife and 3 young adult children sitting around comparing their stats like they were reading each other's blood work. I opened my Spotify app expecting at least something, a top artist, a song I accidentally clicked on, maybe even a, hey, buddy, you okay? Instead, nothing, no Wrapped, no banner, no confetti, just digital tumbleweeds. We dug deeper and discovered the truth. I did not listen to a single song on Spotify in all of 2025. Not one. Apparently, my listening life consists exclusively of podcasts. Specifically, Don't Make Me Come Back There, Nate Land, and The Consumers. I'm all for the brand. So yes, technically it is your fault. Upon learning this, all three of my children, 18, 19, and 21 years old, looked at me with the kind of shock and disappointment usually reserved for discovering your dad has a second family across town. I have never felt more like a complete failure as a 46-year-old father. My wife offered absolutely no support. She was too busy bragging that her listening age on Spotify matched her actual age, which is apparently now a personality trait. So here I am turning to the two of you for guidance.
All right.
I need an emergency beginning level playlist, artists, bands, anything from the Nickerson Family Music Starter Pack. If I don't show up with a real Spotify rap next year, my children have informed me they'll be putting me in a home early. And honestly, after this week, I think they mean it. Love the podcast. Love watching the Nickerson Family comedy empire grow. See you the next time you're in Cleveland. Owen Nelson and Colin's dad, Adam. Oh my gosh, I like the Nickerson Comedy Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Okay, Nickerson Family Music Starter Pack, Adam.
It tells me we should start a playlist.
Yeah.
You're 46, you haven't listened to one song on Spotify this year.
I'm going to give you the band. Are you ready? I'm just going to give him a band. The band, it just, okay. So just go to Spotify and put on This Is Oasis. And I'm going to tell you why. Oasis is very listenable music.
Mm-hmm.
Big pops, big strong choruses,
great vocals.
Some rock and roll, mm-hmm. great vocals, kind of interesting. It's going to take on a few different kind of
rails.
Also, mm-hmm. there's going to be a couple songs you know already. You're going to know Wonderwall. I promise you're going to know Wonderwall. And mm-hmm. then you'll probably like, oh, I remember Champagne Supernova. I remember that. It's kind of like it's going to remind you of the Beatles. Also, it's going to give you some cred with your young kids because Oasis kind of came back and like they're into, mm-hmm. they didn't kind of, mm-hmm. they absolutely came back. So yeah. You'll like it. Your peers, if you're 46, your peers love Oasis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no one complains when it's on. And then what I would just do is I would let Oasis Radio kind of take you where it takes you. You know,
and save artists.
And you might mm-hmm. go on sad days, it's going to take you to Radiohead. And just go on that journey. Just mm-hmm. let it take you there. And if it needs to, you know, I'm just trying to give you music age appropriate that also is somewhat respectable. I don't want you to just like start with Creed and people be like, really? That's your band? And then suddenly, you know.
Yeah, that's a road trip you don't want to take.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Also Tom Petty. Those are the two safest music bets.
Yeah.
I've seen in the car, I find Tom Petty and Oasis to be the two safest music bets there are. So there you go. Yeah. And now when you're ready to go on a deeper, you guys can throw
it
on there too.
I like that. We talk a lot of music in our BTS for our patrons.
Nice plug, Mel.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Smooth. Smooth. Give a little more to the pod. Get a little more from the
you
pod.
You like music conversation?
Yeah.
I'm going to stand by what you said.
Great.
I think that's a great start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like my first thought was not a surf, and that's going to you're going to land there with Oasis. Like,
yeah, take you there.
It's going to take you there anyway. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. And I like not a surf, but no one's going to know those songs in your life.
That's true.
It's too
niche.
It's too, you know.
Well, it's a little bit it's a sidestep.
What was that?
Oasis. Yeah. It's more.
Remember when the Flight of the Conchords guy made that movie, like Eagle versus something?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's like mm-hmm. not a surf. You can't start there as your number one
I know, I agree
entry
with you.
Point.
I'm agreeing mm-hmm. with the Oasis start.
Yeah.
It was
okay,
just
great.
My mm-hmm. first thought was like, oh, something you're going to like that's going to get you somewhere. Because not a surf radio would have brought in, you know, those other
and
similar things too.
Alt-y types.
You know, if if you're looking for something poppier, you know,
The Wicked soundtrack.
The Wicked soundtrack.
Kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I'm trying to think of like a modern band that's putting out hits right now that I really enjoy, but I'm 41, and so I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandi Carlile. Love Brandi Carlile. You know, anyways. This could be the rest of the podcast.
Let's just stop okay. while we're ahead.
Here's a comment from Michael Bridge 08 on question. Do you feel obligated to buy a gift if for someone if they get you a gift?
That's tough. I actually had a friend. I was like, I'm going to get him a gift. And then I was like, but I don't want them to get me a gift. So I don't want them to feel obligated to get me a gift. That's.
Yeah.
And then anyway, these are the kind of tough decisions that I am making in December.
Yeah. Well, you could get it all at Costco.
I do feel obligated to buy a gift when someone buys me one.
Even though I do too, even though I don't, when I give a gift, I don't feel obligated
to
get one back.
One.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually, that is so funny that you could reach full circle in that, like, no, I'm not going to give you a gift because I care about you so much that I don't want you to think you have to get me a gift.
I know.
That's true love, not giving someone a gift.
And Andy's the total gift giver, so he's like, what is wrong with you?
I'm so
confused. I know.
I love you so much, I'm not going to get you a gift so you don't have to feel guilty.
I prescribe zero-sum gift giving.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so this is a comment from Jason Vall 9770. It was records for us. We wanted our parents' records. That's true. It says in the 9-minute mark, this is from last, about Kiss. Kiss had a revitalization during our middle school years. TV appearances, massive merchandising, Kiss beer cooler / coffin anyone, and even comic books and figures by Todd McFarlane. That's true. And then this was very funny. Cardlo Mogala 2058 says, there is no cool version of Wonderful Christmas Time. Very true. Every time I hear that, you're like, wow, a Beatle wrote this. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a hit, but it's...
Oh, yeah. It's a hit.
So anyways, Mel, today we're talking... So Elf on a Shelf.
Elf on the Shelf.
Christmas phenomenon, Elf on the Shelf.
On the Shelf turns 20 years old. I have a little article.
Yeah?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is from the creators of Elf on the Shelf. I never even thought about the creators, but man, are they cashing in.
Yeah. Well, first off, I would like the Elf on the Shelf, just to kind of speak generically about it. You know, it is, you know how we talked about like... the rise of Halloween decorations. That's happened in our adult life. But Elf on a Shelf is really a Christmas tradition that, you know, happened in our adult life that wasn't there before. It was a thing that our parents didn't do because it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it is interesting and noteworthy anytime a new kind of tradition reaches.
Absolutely. We did like Advent activities with our first two kids, and then our third child was born when our kids were 7 and 4, our older kids, and then all of her friends at school did Elf on the Shelf, and so she didn't put it on a Christmas list like I want an Elf on the Shelf. Maybe she did, but she started writing to the elf that she wanted it to come to our house, and that, I mean, that'll make you start a new tradition.
That will make you start a new tradition.
It's adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so sure enough, you name your elf, you read the book about it, you learn about the lore
of
Elf on the Shelf, and then you have to move it. The parents, spoiler alert, the parents move it. But people love to complain about this little doll online.
Which,
Of course.
Which, listen, I get it.
Parents have so much to do in the month of December. Mm-hmm. It's just another thing you got to do. Or there's like an influencer or your neighbor is like taking it way too far every day.
Every day.
And then your kid's like, what I want.
If you're. If you're the parents of a large family and you don't do Elf on a Shelf, I get it. Because sometimes you don't got time to hide an elf. You're not even sure where all your kids are right now. Like, I can't hide this elf because the middle child is hiding.
We have a search party out.
They're looking for the elf? No, I'm looking for the middle kid. who is hiding in the dryer, which is very risky.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
So not, I'm not going to post that on Instagram.
We're hanging on by a thread. I do. I don't know if it's because my like colleagues online are older. But there was a day and age where moms, dads, like every day were posting like, oh, the elf got into the cookies.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's kind of just a family thing. You don't have to post it online. Yeah. Which is kind of the best. The whole point of Elf on the Shelf is to create a memory with the parents and the child.
Right, right.
And kind of a fun tradition. But anyways, it's like a lot of things, you know, the internet kills it, you know, like kills the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Because somebody takes it too far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? It starts to feel like a
performative, as the kids say.
Yeah. It starts to feel like very, I'm like, why do I, when I see your Elf on the Shelf, I feel the same way as I do when you're on your like Hawaiian vacation.
Yeah, it brings up feelings of jealousy and envy and you know, consumerism. Yeah. And
seems like we got our own stuff we got to work through, Mel.
Well, I was going to say, actually, okay, so your kid comes home from kindergarten, and they're like, so-and-so has an elf.
Right.
Why don't we have an elf?
Yeah.
And
you're like, well, dad got laid off, that's why. Find the holiday magic in that. Dad would kill for a job in Santa's workshop. Is Santa hiring?
The Daris.
Father, I put a little cash on the shelf for you.
Can the elf bring money? I don't. Yeah, Dad's got a lot of time off for Christmas.
More time to move the elf.
Elf on a Shelf takes a dark holiday turn.
Okay, I was trying to say. Okay.
New house doesn't have a shelf, kids.
Yeah.
We're out of shelves.
We're out of shelves.
Our shelves are empty.
The shelves just have a bunch of empty booze bottles on them. Mom, Dad's talking to the elf again.
Leave your dad alone. Okay.
Is Santa hiring?
Is Santa...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
What I was going to say is that kids have different problems these days. So your little kid is like, I want an elf because they have an elf. And then your teen or tween, I promise you, on Christmas morning, if this is their first year with a phone, they will have a group text mm-hmm. and they'll say, Merry Christmas, what did you guys get?
Right,
and
right.
then everyone just sounds off what they got, mm-hmm. whether or not they got it or not.
Yeah.
And makes you feel insecure envious and like, well, I didn't get anything for Christmas.
Dude, our teenage daughter over Thanksgiving break, we're just talking, we're driving to go get pizza. And she goes, like 14 of my friends are in Europe right now. And we're like, that seems high. And then we grilled her on it. She had one friend in Europe and one friend in Mexico, which we live 20 minutes from, by the way. That is not a flex. So anyways.
But it's just that. It just looks different now. You know, like we had like catalogs or we had to like go to our friends' homes to see how big they were or, you know, fancy their neighborhood was. Yeah. But our kids like in one Christmas morning group chat will annihilate all their gratefulness for what they did not receive. So it's... So there's lessons to be learned here.
You want to do it like you want Christmas, like where they, you know, some clubs have you put your phone in a pouch, mm-hmm. in a little whatever those called, yeah. yonder bags or whatever.
Well, classrooms do it too.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
High school. Yeah.
All right. Well, summarize this article. So this is all
basically,
coming.
These twins, they're in their 50s.
Oh, they're twins?
Their mom,
sisters?
Yeah.
Oh,
their
nice.
Mom used to move a little... I think it was an elf, but like a little stuffed animal every night. And she told them the story that like they go back to the North Pole, come back from Santa, check on the girls. And so they created Elf on the Shelf based on their mom's like little tradition
nice.
For them. And now it's like this huge empire. They have like all these other stuffed animals and books, TV shows. And then... their advice in this was for busy parents who were stressed out.
You scroll down a little.
Their advice is just to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, again, you like the elf doesn't have to, like, be making cookies all night,
yeah.
you know, and you got to clean it up and or bring, like, fancy presents. And, you know, like, he
yeah.
can just be, like, in the living room and then he's in the kitchen.
Right.
You know? So
it talks about here, yeah, the overachieving parents that go to Instagram, they're doing too much.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Belle and Pitts, these are the sisters. I don't
twin
see
sisters
their...
here. Yeah.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. say, stop.
Well, they also, of course, have a product to offer you, which is a 24 day. If you scroll all the way down, Andy, it's like a 24 gift idea. Sorry. I got to find it because I can't remember the title.
Yeah, it's just ideas to what to do.
They have a set. You're so close to it.
How did
no,
they not
go back down. Go back. Oh, there
better.
It is. There it was. Right above this family. I just need to see it.
Oh,
okay.
There you go. Okay.
They have an idea kit. That's what I was trying to find. 24-day idea kit. So for $25 or something, they can create the like little adventures for your elf.
There you go.
And
for 50, they do Elf on a Shelf Christmas devotional.
There is a Christian elf on the shelf.
Of course there is.
Yeah. So we went to our Facebook, the Dustin Nickerson Comedy Facebook group, and we pulled the group. And
yeah, I'll pull it. Yeah.
A lot of the people in that group, it's like almost 800 people, were like, no, we do not do Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
But as I was telling you, Dustin, I think a lot of them either one didn't have kids during this, like the last 20 years, like little kids,
mm-hmm.
or two, they weren't parents.
Right.
Because they probably have more time to engage with online content this month.
Right. Yeah.
Because the parents are too busy doing all the Christmas
magic. Yeah. A lot of people are saying, right, that
Facebook
they. I think this is classic. I barely have time to brush my teeth. That's from Margaret. Some people have younger kids, like we'll probably get there.
They're waiting it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Andrea said, my 14-year-old daughter hates our elf Susie, but she'll visit every year until she's 18.
That's cute.
Dame said, I'm telling my 4-year-old that Santa doesn't need to spy on her because she's just a good kid.
Sometimes the older kids will get in on it
yeah.
and, like, help.
Yeah.
We kind of did that.
Amanda says we're doing Finding Jesus. It's a Jesus doll that has a puzzle piece each day to be a puzzle and read a verse that goes along. It's nice. A little Advent-y, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is it Messiah in the manger? Is that,
is that what it is? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Probably one
yeah,
of them.
I was going to say that doesn't even sound fake to me.
I'm like, yeah, that's a thing, right?
This is good. Yeah. Patrick said we have 6 years between our two middle kids, so the older two now hide it for the younger two. Love that. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Love that.
Our family, our elf would write letters often.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what the elf brought was letters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then our littlest, Claire, would write letters back.
Yeah,
to the elf.
I love that.
So
yeah.
It was fun.
We do
I
it,
think
but
we
our,
saved a couple of those.
Candace said, we do it. Yeah. There's one that I see and I cry every time I read it. Mm-hmm. Candace says, we do it, but our elf mostly just sits in a new place. That's what they were saying here.
Yeah,
he's gotten into shenanigans in the past, but usually he just sits. But now our oldest is on it, and he does it a lot of the time. Yeah, that all...
Which is nice.
Yeah, I think
so
that...
So there's a balance. There's a middle ground if you want.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. There's a lot of creative parents in there that take a lot of joy in it. There was one or two years where I was super into it, you know, and I was like... You know.
Yeah, you created some scenes.
And then I would leave mm-hmm. for the weekend and then Santa would get a lot less creative, or the elf would get a lot less creative Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Then it was in a wreath.
Yeah. And then like, why is Santa's handwriting changing? Or the elf, I keep saying Santa. So, well, he's
yeah,
in
we
the
used
wreath.
To print it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always said like, greetings and salutations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With
yeah.
warm regards.
How do elves
like
talk?
weird yeah. greetings. That's what our elf did.
Well,
what about you, Andy?
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
avoid it?
We,
or you got it?
We successfully avoided it.
Yeah.
So, probably for this very reason of just like, I don't have well, if you, time it, for that.
Yeah.
I have four kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
And you homeschool.
It's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I like it even more knowing it's kind of like origins now. It's crazy. It's been 20 years.
I know.
We mm-hmm. you're right. We did just catch it with our youngest child.
Yeah.
Which is mm-hmm. pretty classic because our older two were like, "What? Where was this when I was a kid?"
Yeah. We just, it wasn't as popular just in our sphere. We also had a fan say that you can find like the outfits for the elves like at like Marshall's and TJ Maxx and stuff.
Hobby Lobby,
but like a discount place.
Yeah.
So you could go looking for some.
Would you have liked it as a kid? As a young kid, would you have been to Elf on a Shelf?
Yes.
Yeah.
You
would have loved to hide it for your sisters.
Yeah.
Your younger sisters. Mm-hmm. You would have been, kid and your peak creativity years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been fun.
You'd have been building furniture for the elf.
He would have been in my dollhouse.
Mom, what's my budget? Mom, what is my budget this year for the elf?
I didn't need a
budget. You'd have been like Buddy the Elf, you know, building the plane
forging.
And stuff. Yeah. I love it. Wow. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do, you got a bingo dingo. We got a recommendation.
I do.
You took two of our children and two of their friends to see the
FNAF
Five
2.
Nights at Freddy's 2 sequel, mm-hmm. which, again... if you have younger kids, this is not the movie for you.
No,
and if you're not into anything scary, horror whatsoever, totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your decisions to make for you and your family. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We did not. It was the thing that our kid got into, you know, as teens and preteens, young. They're old. Our kids are older. So you took them to go see it.
Yeah, so
we'd seen the first one together as a family.
Was originally a video game.
Yeah, but just expanded to just a huge.
Yeah. So what's really cool is like the puppets are made by Jim Henson's company, so the puppets are like amazing.
Right.
It's PG-13.
The animatronics. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. One of them's like a marionette, so like
I'm
in my head puppet, but yeah. They're animatronics. It's kind of loosely based on Chuck E. Cheese. So like 80s.
We don't need a plot synopsis.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
So it's very nostalgic.
Yeah, it's an 80s movie. Yeah.
It's kind of like in the vein of like Stranger Things or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But it was really fun because sometimes my kids will plan movies like with friends and then I'm just there to drop them off and pick them up and pay.
Right.
But I planned this, and I was like, you can each bring a friend. And so they were like, are you coming? And I was like, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. I would like to sit in this movie, please.
And like, I had the tickets. I had the time. I was like, I'm going.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun because I got to sit next to the sixth graders. Mm-hmm. And then we had the sophomores in front of us. And so seeing their reactions to like all the jump scares and the anticipation, they were like freaking out. Like Claire was actually, she screamed a couple times in the theater. And she just, like, she's read out, like, all these books about them. She just really likes this series and stuff. So it was a very fun movie. It did end on a cliffhanger, but that's because we got more coming.
Yay. you know, and then the FNAF Christmas devotional is coming out. And what's your bingo dingo on it?
There's like a love interest, and it's that was a little cringy.
Okay.
Their like dialogue.
Okay.
But I still would give it 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Bingo dingos. Yeah.
You know,
and you're going to see it with Claire on Christmas break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to
it. She wants to go back.
I always come back. That's a FNAF reference. I read this article a while back where it was talking about how Disney is kind of losing Gen Z, specifically Gen Z males. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a million reasons that you could read into that. But I'm less interested. What I thought, the reason that I think of it now is like the two of the biggest properties recently that have, or like the movies that have come out for Gen Z are Five Nights at Freddy's and then to a much larger scale, Minecraft. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, that's the point. These are their things. Like Disney is
and
a
lot. Even the Mario.
Yeah.
That
absolutely.
Sequel is coming out.
Disney
soon.
Is a lot of our things. You know, like Toy Story was our thing, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of not really our thing. That was the generation after, a couple years behind us. But Monster, like, and like, The Little Mermaid was our thing. And so, yeah, I'm sure there are young kids that are still into these things. Of course there are. Mm-hmm. But they weren't like, they didn't own them the way that we owned Lion King when it came out, you know?
Yeah.
But Minecraft was their thing. And Five Nights at Freddy's was their thing. And you're like, well, there you go. You know, make, you know, when it's their property. And like Minecraft was like, you remember when I saw Lego Batman and I was like, this is like a love letter to Batman fans. That's what Minecraft was, was to, there's just like, these are all these nods and these Easter eggs from kids who grew up playing games, playing this game, watching YouTube videos about this game. And, and that's what Claire said too. She's like, oh, there's these Easter eggs and these like nods of the lore. And you're like, it's great. It's great. It just means, I think it feels like to them when comic book movies started coming out for me and I was like, oh my gosh, these are the things that I read and now they're on the big screen and these are things that I've cared about for us. So I mean it's not that complicated.
Yeah, it's fun because she knows like all about it.
Yeah,
so it's exactly what you just said. I can't articulate it in a better way, but
what's funny though is that you have to be careful with that. The the first episode of that Seth Rogen show, The Studio, is they're, you know, they're like trying to recreate Barbie, you know, they're like, yeah, we need to own property. So what we're going to do is we got our hands on the rights to make a Kool-Aid movie, the Kool-Aid Man movie. And that's the whole, you know, it's a very, so it is, I got to be careful of this because you're like, okay, what's Gen Z love? We got to do a movie about that. You're like, I don't know about it. We got to do a 6-7 movie. Like, let's not. Let's not. Please don't. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the pod.
Yeah.
I think that's it. We got it.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, folks. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for your support of this podcast. To Adam Bush,
Alex Foos, and Sam Graham,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Brian and Amy Nagel,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibling.
Damaris Diaz-Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Ribera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Naomi Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya.
Yvette Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks, everybody.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.